the oldest of them slowly being swallowed by the grass. Faustus, in a dark grey mourning toga, with his sister Sylvia beside him in a sombre gown, followed the casket ahead of the shrieking mourners. He had not wanted them, but Sylvia had insisted. What would people think if they didn't hire professional mourners to see their father off? They had had them for mother, of course, not 2 months since, but father had directed that funeral, as he had directed everything else on the farm. Now he was dead, and Faustus had two choices. Accede to father's dying wishes and let the farm swallow him too, rooting him inexorably into the ground like the tombstones, or flee. The appointment to the army's centuriate training camp in Rome was tucked into the grey folds of his toga, a talisman against changing his mind. 2 days after the funeral, he signed the bill of sale that extricated him, despite Sylvia's weepy protestations. The chickens in the farmyard bobbed about his ankles in a little brown-feathered tide as Faustus threw them a last handful of grain to remember him by.
"You didn't have to sell it. Manlius would have married me without a dowry."
Sylvia twisted her mantle round and round her hands until they looked like a chrysalis, or some hapless infant swaddled by a murderous nurse. Faustus unwound her. "Of course he would." He wouldn't, and Faustus knew it. Manlius wanted Sylvia, but he couldn't afford to marry a woman with no money.
"The farm has been in our family for 200 years,
Sylvia sniffled, now using the mantle to wipe her nose.
"What would father think? It was his life."
"I don't know what father thinks, because he hasn't popped up from the underworld to tell me."
Father had been going to borrow money to get Sylvia married. If Faustus had done that, he would never have got free. The price of the farm had taken care of a dowry, and Sylvia was to be duly handed off to Manlius, up-and-coming quaestor of Narbo Martius. Faustus had kept just enough cash to buy a good horse. The slaves would go with Sylvia, except for Paulus, who regarded the change as an improvement on tending cows. The Silvii had been well enough off by Gaulish provincial standards until Faustus was 19, when Silvius Valerianus had made a few investments that he had later described as unwise, and his wife had called insane. She had died shortly thereafter of a fever, and Faustus's father had followed, as if her loss was a final dispiriting event that he could not manage. His parting words had invoked his wife's name, with more loss in his voice than Faustus would have expected. Faustus had loved his mother, but she had not always been an easy woman. She had come into the household as a slave after Claudius Caesar's invasion of Britain. Silvius Valerianus had bought her for a housekeeper, and then freed and married her. Faustus's father had been big-boned and ruddy, with light brown hair and a heavy brow. His mother was pale and dark-haired, with a fine-boned face like a cat's. Faustus had his father's height, but he owed much of his looks to her, as well as the promised post in the army. She had taught her children her language, despite his father's objections, telling Silvius that she wanted someone to speak to in her own tongue when he complained that she was a Roman now. Being a Roman was much better than being a Briton. Faustus had had to agree with that, but there was something lyrical in his mother's speech that had made him want to learn it. And, as it happened, that had proved useful. Theirs was neither a family of equestrian rank nor one with a tradition of army service, and he would likely have had no chance at an immediate commission, but gone in as a rank and filer to work his way up, except for the fact that he spoke his mother's language. There was a need for British-speaking officers now that Agricola, new governor of Britain, was planning to finish off the conquest of that province.
"All right, you lazy worms, take those jumps again, this time bareback. An officer who can't stay on his horse in an emergency doesn't belong in the army. Anyone who hasn't fallen off, line up for pilum practice afterward, and then we'll have a nice march down to the harbour. You've got 6 months for me to turn you into centuriate material."
Faustus took his horse over the last jump and arrived still mounted.